something and break the whites into a little entering bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead, Emily King, is here.
Present.
We missed you last week.
I missed you as well.
Did you?
I was in property management land.
Okay. Is it like fiery and burny and scary with pitchforks
and things? Depends on the time of the month. Around the first, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's that rent due thing?
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to try to fix that. yeah, but we sat down with Rick, and we had Andrew Gooey and Michelle Jacoby.
I love his last name.
I know, isn't it fun?
Gooey.
And you know what's cool is that he was raised in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we had some interesting things in common since I had my Singapore time. But yeah, it was really nice, and they were very grateful. It was cool. Yeah,
very
I felt
cool.
good about that one. And so today, we are at the Boulders.
Yet another beautiful resort here.
I know.
In
you know, I hate my job. I wish it could just elevate just a little bit more.
Yesterday we were at Troon. Now we're down the road at the Boulders.
Oh, I know. And so we have Executive Chef Brian Archibald is here with us today. And make sure I say this right, Lauren Maliasaria?
Malia.
Okay, well, I was close.
I'll take you there.
Will ya? Okay, you're here, so that's fun. And we're going to chat with them. So we told them, it's like, hey, if we start talking about something, and you're like, ooh, you know, and you're jumping up and down in your seat and you know something, just pipe off. It's all good. We don't care, right?
Save your energy. It's hot. Don't jump. Just
What is it today? Okay, so everybody knows we usually don't record on Saturday. So you're listening on Saturday, but it's 118?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was 107 degrees at 9 o'clock this morning. That's just insane. But you know, what's crazy is if you can handle it and you're just like, what's wrong with me? This is nuts. Oh. Yeah, so last night you said at Troon.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
That was a blast.
Yeah, so we got to have the dinner together. But prior to that, I got to go back and cook for 3.5 hours with Mel Macinas and Kelly Fletcher.
You got to bust out your prep cook skills.
You know, it's... Okay, so I'm thinking, all right, I'm the little amateur person, that comes in and, you know, just does whatever they want me to do. And I totally spaced and didn't bring my knife kit.
Oh,
I was
no.
considering it. I'm like, should I bring my knife kit? Is that a little pretentious? You know, I don't know. I should have brought my knife kit.
Always bring that knife kit.
Well, guess who didn't bring their knife kit either?
Was it Kelly?
Kelly didn't bring his knife kit either.
Fantastic.
I know.
But he was there like 4 hours early, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that. He could have run home and got it. However, I did bring my chef's knife and my steel.
Good
so I just
you.
Wrapped it up in a dish towel because I don't have like, what do they call those rolly things?
A knife roll.
Is that? Oh, thank you. Wow, that was hard. Yeah, so I'm just like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? You know, and it's funny because I did mention this a little earlier, but I think a lot of people that go in there that have never experienced, you know, true back of the house, you know, it's just this whirlwind of, you know, whoa, shiny objects and loud things and people swearing and stuff like that. And
oh,
so
I
walked
it.
In and I'm like, work. This feels like work.
I think it's fun.
It was fun.
I love it.
It was really fun. And what's fascinating, I mean, the last time I worked on a line, a chef at the school I went to was just consistently ripping me a new one. So being there with Mel and Kelly, and they were all like soft spoken and stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, you know, I might come back to this.
But, do you have any openings?
You know, probably. But it was he just kind of looked at me and said, can you do these things? And I'm like, yes, chef. And so ran around. And so it made me feel good because I just felt like, yeah, I can still do this. It was
and
cool. I wasn't saute or anything.
The
but.
Dinner was fantastic, and
yes.
you could point out all of your projects to
oh,
us.
Yeah. Okay, I got to do the avocado crema. That was mine. I actually made that.
It
but
delicious.
It was fun. So we did the seared scallop with the foie gras mousse.
That scallop was amazing. It was
wasn't
just
good.
Butter.
Just one.
It was perfect.
I know. The hamachi carpaccio.
Mm-hmm.
Say that 3 times.
Also
best.
Amazing.
And that's where the avocado crema came in. It was really pretty. There's some pictures, and we'll show them to you online. The Guinea, I love this, falchetta. What would you think that was, Chef? A falchetta.
Like a version of a porchetta, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
But made with Guinea.
Was there anything, was it stuffed?
Was it rolled?
That yes, was it was just
rolled.
A roll.
That
okay.
would make more sense, like porchettas like that, rolled pork belly around
it
a
It tasted like Thanksgiving. I mean, it was really nice because, you know, guinea has that more gamey flavor, like Absolutely. A turkey rather than chicken. And
duckish.
It's duckish. And then so it had a plum gastrique, which reminded you, of course, of cranberries. So, and it was real, it was zippy. It was great. It was a beautiful plate. And veal loin and lobster. It's like, okay, I'm going to work for 3.5 hours and eat that. Sure. And the veal loin was like perfect medium. It was awesome.
So good.
And then a strawberry lemonade, like icebox cake.
But I feel like I won.
You did win because Emily has celiac. So we have a visitor with like stacks behind me that I can't see?
We do. Did you see my face light up?
Don't look back.
Ooh,
oh, you guys are cool. And this is Chef Mike, yes?
Hi, yes, Chef Mike.
Hi, Chef Mike. What's up? What'd you bring, Chef?
Got some ahi tuna lettuce wraps.
Oh, dang. Oh, beautiful, cool. Oh. And that's a cocktail?
Yeah.
A blueberry mint fizz. Who put these little babies together? You did? Oh, cool. What's your name?
Jess.
Jess? Yes. Hi, Jess. I'm Heidi. Nice to meet you. Okay, have you ever been behind a mic before?
No.
Okay.
Take her away, Jess.
So it's absolute vodka. We have freshmen from our organic garden. Blueberries. Lemonade with a splash of Pellegrino.
Okay.
For a little fizz, yes.
You're welcome.
Yay. Enjoy.
Thanks. That was our weekly wet your whistle. It just, you know, sometimes it comes in wherever it comes into the show because we're all good at that. That was a really interesting time up there, and I really enjoyed it. And beautiful dinner, beautiful rosé wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm a fan of rosé now.
I know, I am too.
I never really considered it.
I never used to be until I met Flagstaff.
Because I always think of, you know, pink wine.
That's a guy that I know up in Flagstaff.
Huh? College, Zen, Sutter Homes. White Zen.
Sweet, nasty crap, yeah. Basically. Yeah, no, those were beautiful. I took a picture of it. I can't remember who made it. But that was really fantastic. And I wanted to say something more. How many minutes are we at, baby girl?
I would like to prompt you now on the stripper story.
Oh, okay, you're prompting me.
Which
okay.
was not shared.
I know, sorry. Okay, so the other day I was at the grocery store. And all I bought was a fifth of Jim Beam and a piece of German chocolate cake, which looked kind of odd. So anyway, I'm going through. And you know how you make friends at, you know, when you go to the same grocery store and they say you have friends at Fry's? Mm-hmm. Well, I actually do have friends at Fry's. And this one guy I've known for like 8 years, his name is Tony, and he's a stalker. He's a shelf stalker and cashier. Anyway, his nickname for me is...
Stalker, not yeah, stalker. Okay.
Yeah, is Bok Choy. So the first time I went through his line, I had bok choy, and he goes, "What's this?" And I said, "It's called bok choy." And he goes, "What?" And I said, "Well, just say it with an accent. Bok choy!" And so every once in a while, he actually gets on the speaker, the PA system, and says that. Like I'm walking out of the store. See you later, bok choy. So I'm standing there, and this girl is bagging groceries at the other aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just talking and rambling. And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, this isn't my first job. My first job is a stripper." And I'm like, "What?" I know. And I'm like, "What?" And I looked over there and I said, "Did you actually just say that?" And she says, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well, it's odd that we don't recognize each other." And she starts cracking up. All these people are looking around. And I'm like, "Well, you know, it's out of context and the clothes thing." It was great. I loved it.
That's fantastic.
So I'm walking out the door and I said, "Have a good night, Barbie." I know, right? Ooh, more snacks.
Oh,
I think we're going to dive into these. Oh, my God, look at that.
Oh,
tuna.
Yeah, we need to take a break.
I got to take
stuff
this
our
little
faces.
Blueberry mint fizz.
Mm.
Did you try it?
Yeah, it's delicious. It's perfect for
Don't
today.
Don't shy eaters either.
Oh, we won't. Oh, my gosh.
Never shy.
Perfect. Perfect for that 119-degree day in the valley. Okay, we're going to take a break. And we have a lot of fun people to talk to and talk about. Subject to talk about. We're going to drop some CCAP in there. We've got some events. And I think it's going to be very, very fun. And thank you for having us, Chef.
Thank Absolutely. You so much.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Don't touch that dial. Hey, welcome back to Into This Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and my lovely, lovely friend, Emily King, is here to play.
Hello.
Okay. Yep.
Getting the tuna out of my teeth. Oh. Delicious.
Okay, so Chef Brian Archibald, can you please explain what, I mean, I know this is tuna, and I know that that's a dipping ponzu sauce of some sort. And then we have a hot pot, and we were talking about a soup. You know what? This could be our soup.
I'm taking the shrimp.
Absolutely.
Why doesn't that be our soup?
Then it is.
Okay, cool. So that's our soup of the week. So let's do it. What do you call it?
So basically, this is our version of a udon bowl or hot pot. We do this at the Spa Cafe here at the Boulders. So it's spicy prawns, edamame, shiitake mushrooms, and there's a kombu and miso broth, and then just udon noodles. It has the option to have protein or not. I mean, we love it with these chili garlic shrimp on top. Oh. But a lot of guests will leave it off, you know, and add something else or just keep it vegetarian.
Okay.
Since the broth base is vegetarian. But no, that we're trying that. And then we have this seared tuna tataki with marinated vegetables, ponzu, and we're doing that as a lettuce wrap today. So it's a little lighter.
Oh, it's beautiful. They're both great. They're both great. We were sitting here talking about, you know, it being so, you know, the surface of the sun here right now and not eating or drinking hot things. But in some situations, I mean, I lived, not that it's any hotter in Singapore, but you sweat a heck of a lot more. It's a different, you know, it's a different kind.
Very humid.
But everybody drinks hot beverages and eats hot soup all the time. It doesn't matter, because Singapore doesn't change. It's only 1 degree north of the equator. So you might, like, have a 2 degree difference, but it's usually about 100 degrees and 100 and something plus humidity.
All the time.
Ugh.
How does anyone live there?
I don't know.
Well, it's fascinating, and because you get a lot of food like this.
Yeah.
So you're quite a hiker.
I try to be, I guess. Yes. No.
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
You are.
I am.
Do you go all over the state or?
You know, normally I have a little dog that I like to take around Phoenix, but now that it's so hot, I've been going up to, you know, wherever it's cooler.
Not Phoenix.
As close as I can be where I'm not going to die is where I'm currently hiking.
Do you have a Shiba? Is that what it is?
I do. Yeah.
What's a Shiba?
You know those little Doge memes that are like, it looks like a fox.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
It's a fox.
The Doge.
Dog.
I have a Doge.
Oh, that's one that you said, look, I'm Batman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have one of those. Yeah, exactly.
How much does it weigh?
He's really small for his size. He's only 19 pounds. Like, the really cute ones that you see on the internet are usually, like, they're, like, kind of chubby. They're, like, 25 pounds. Mine is, he's lean, mean hiking machine.
Does he hike with you, or do you carry him?
He hikes with me, but he's six now. And when we had him as a puppy, I used to take him up Camelback all the time. He would, like, kick my... Am I allowed to say ass? He would kick my ass.
No,
he would,
that's
like,
okay.
He would run up to the top of the mountain before I could get there.
He has a lower center of gravity.
Yeah, that's now why. That he's six, I carry him a lot on the hard parts of Camelback, which makes me look really cool, but is also exhausting. So.
Well, you could switch him over, and then that's your upper body routine.
Exactly. First time I did it, the next day I was like, why are my shoulders sore? And I realized, carried a 20-pound dog up.
Do you get up to the top and just hold him over your head and scream?
I like to do the Lion King, hold him off the edge.
But look at the... Okay, yeah.
I've done that a lot with him.
Did you make that song?
Always entertaining.
Kylie's version of it.
Like, this is all yours.
Everything the light touches is yours. Just why he has behavior problems.
That's great. Be careful. There's stampedes of some sort here, I know. So, Lauren, you are with Phoenix New Times.
I am, yes.
And how long have you been with them?
Oh, gosh. I started as a little baby intern, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. So, did you go to Cronkite?
I did go to Cronkite, yes. Yeah. Proud grad.
You started 5 years ago as an intern?
I did, yeah.
Wow, you've done great things.
Yeah, you know... People, I've been really lucky.
Well, it takes more than luck to write like you write so prolifically and about so many different people. So, yeah, sometimes there's a little bit of luck. Like, someone dies. We need a new person to write.
It sort of feels like that. That's the real secret to my success now.
Was there someone in front of you that you replaced? Or was that Michelle?
She was two people before me.
Okay.
But actually, we went through a lot of changes sort of in the last 3 years. We went from not having a full-time food writer to having one, and
okay.
The critic position changed over. And so through all that, I sort of they basically just can't get rid of me. Actually, it's a funny story. After my internship, you don't have to keep showing up for meetings, and I just kept coming, and so they kept giving me work. And now I have.
So you ingratiated yourself.
I did. I just was like, I'm going to keep showing up at this building until they give me a job.
I think you and Emily and I should have a vocabulary contest.
Oh my god.
Are you verbose?
I'll judge. I mean, I can Google it, but. That's not my talent, obviously.
Just make sure it's a word for us.
I'm right-click spell check.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's great. And so you have your first event. Is this your first food event that you're putting on, your inaugural, on Saturday? Well, today, actually, for you people that are just, you know, not paying attention.
Today.
Yes.
It's today!
It's going to be our first Sips and Sweets event.
Okay.
Which is an event that is being put on by New Times, but it's sort of something that we're trying for the first time, where I have curated, I know some people hate that word, but I've curated the list of participants. So
it's a big list. We'll go over that one later.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good list. I was looking at it going, yay, I get to be here.
Yes.
Because,
that's the idea.
Yeah, I don't know what portion of the proceeds, but a portion of the proceeds goes to CCAP.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing a 50-50 raffle as well.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. So that's going to be fantastic, helping the kids. Yeah, so it's going to be great. And you're going to be there, right, Brian?
Absolutely.
What do you make?
I'm on the sweet end of things.
You're on the sweet.
Well, I'm going to do two desserts.
Are you going to tell us what they are?
Well, one's going to be the clutch, so I'm not going to say anything.
Clutch?
Yeah.
Is there a contest?
We'll hold off on that. It's competitive. It's cooking.
Oh, okay.
We're always competitive.
Anytime you get chefs together,
it's competition.
Beep.
So it's, yeah, there you go. You're a little late.
I'm not alone. I'm the only one that did that. Didn't know you guys were going to have such potty mouths.
In this world? Are you kidding me? I've just learned how to just beat myself.
That's even better. I know that I want to do one sweet and savory kind of together. So we're working on like an uni panna cotta with sesame sponge and a little bit of matcha powder and a couple other secret ingredients.
What's matcha powder?
Matcha is like a green tea powder. So we're going to use that to make like a little shortbread cookie and then this panna cotta with uni, like in between sweet and savory.
Okay.
So that'll be
nice.
More for the food peeps. And
it's my
then
favorite combination.
It's pretty wild.
Okay.
Should be. So we're super
not
stoked.
Not necessarily panna cotta and uni.
Oh, I was like, oh, you have it all the time.
It's like, geez, yeah.
I mean, I just had that last week.
Very specific thing to enjoy.
I'll like, remind, man. Take you down.
Yeah, so much for my creativity. I'm like, that. No, so, you know, we're very excited to do that. And then there's some great culinary town out there, so I'm really excited to see some of my friends.
Yeah,
in the valley.
It's going to be cool. So speaking of take you down, I am not, you know, so low as to be a name dropper like, you know, Bobby Flay. Or, you know, being on TV and beating Bobby Flay. But it was a good segue, so you beat Bobby Flay!
Absolutely. I was very fortunate, like Lauren, like somebody just died and I felt lucky. No, honestly, no.
You were so cool. I actually was just flipping through the TV, drinking, and I'm like, I know him.
I knew you looked familiar. I love that show.
You might be one of the people that send me the random text in the middle of the night, like, hey, I just saw your face on TV. Like, what?
I hate
Who is this?
Well, it surprised
me. I'm not on TV. Really?
Yeah, and I think it just surprised me, too, because then you'll get people calling you who... He's like, I haven't heard from you in 2 years. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I just saw you on
TV. That really happen?
Yeah.
You get that little clamoring, I want to be with you now. And
I don't know if it was all the lovers. Maybe it was like ex-employees. It's like, so you guys are hiring. No, so, you know, I was really fortunate to be on Beat Bobby Flay this past season.
And what did you make?
So it's actually a really funny story. You know, anyone that does...
Oh, good, I love funny stories.
Anyone that does filming, they, you know, everyone's like, oh, you get to make, you know, a signature dish or this and that. Which isn't true. Obviously, they have a show to write. So I submitted 31 recipes to them when they picked. You know, they picked me to do one of the seasons with them,
and I
submitted 31 recipes, and they just keep shooting them down left and right.
Are you allowed to tell us this?
I know. Now they're gonna kill you. The Food Network hit, man.
It already,
you have to die.
It already aired. So what are they gonna do? I mean, obviously, there's a show to write, right? So anything in TV that they control. So it was more, I want to do pasta. No, someone already did that. And I think we just had a chef from the Valley that did something like the season before that. So after 30, I think two recipes or whatever, eventually I just said, I was like, what do you want me to cook? Just tell me what you want me to cook. This is a true story. Like, and then they just said, hey, all right, here's what we haven't done. How about Southwest or Mexican? They gave me a couple options. And I was like, I'll do like a street sandwich. Cause I had just been to like Tortas Las Redes, like my favorite
Okay.
Mexican mm-hmm. tortoise sandwich place off 7th, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
Ooh, okay. I'll try that one.
And I had just eaten there, and I was like, what if I do something like that? And they're like, sounds great. No one's done it. What the hell is it? And I was like, okay, well, I'll write a recipe for a street sandwich and send it. And then they loved it. So, you know, and then you fly out to New York, and I did the airing. I got to meet Todd Hall, which was the other chef. Because you don't really meet, you don't know who you're going to cook against in the first part, which is okay. really, really interesting. So then you show up in like a green room, and there's some dude there who's like totally giving me the cold shoulder when I show up. I'm like super happy, 7 in the morning. I'm like, hey, what's up? I just had coffee, and I was all excited to talk to him.
It was hot.
And, yeah, it was super hot. And he pretty much gave me like the FU kind of look for a while. And I was like, hey, we're in this room for like 2 hours. Like, what else are we going to do besides talk to each other? Yeah, so anyways, after a while, you know, he didn't really warm up to me, and then we did the first segment, and they really do surprise you with an ingredient. None of that's fake, that's all real. So
was that?
We got a almost like a European inspired like jarred tuna. So don't think like canned tuna for
tuna
fish, but more like
European inspired jarred tuna is awesome.
And it just sounds classy when you say European anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's right, of so course. Did you know that saying tuna fish is like saying chicken bird?
Absolutely. Love to see.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the
deep no, thoughts so this, with Heidi Lee,
and this is an ingredient that I'm familiar with. So this it's a Mediterranean ingredient. A lot of my background has been in Mediterranean restaurants or concepts that I've done. So you know, we do that, and then you got to compete and got to cook against Todd, and you know he must have fumbled up a little bit. So
tell me, you didn't make any soir.
I don't remember if you. I think you said you saw. He did kind of like a tostada thing, and I just really.
Oh, yeah.
I let the ingredient shine just because I did a small amount of research before I went. I'm like, I better watch a couple episodes before I fly out there
right.
and see what's happening. And I saw that was the key thing. Like, let this ingredient shine. So I used a little bit of restraint in that. You know, almost thought it was too much. And then it was funny. You're just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going home or I get to hang out. And then they're like, oh, you won this one. I was like, what the fuck.
Cool.
So can I tell you something delicious?
Yes.
I learned this from a dishwasher that I had when I managed the restaurant down in Tucson. And she's like, I love tuna salad on tostadas. And they're so good. You have to just make tuna salad, get those tostadas at the store. I like the Mexican brand, like as Mexican as you can possibly get.
Okay.
And then it just like a little bit of, you can do like a little bit of shredded cabbage or shredded lettuce and a little salsa. Amazing.
That amazing. Sounds great.
I know.
A little salsa?
Yeah.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's delicious. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
So did that happen? That was just great. That was good.
That's a
winning I like
dish.
It.
She sounds on tuna.
You should like write up a recipe for that. Maybe you compete on Bobby Flay.
I will. Thanks, I think dishwasher.
Be great. You never know where the best ideas are going to come from. Mm-hmm. So did you compete against him that very day? Or?
Oh, yeah. Everything's shot in one day. I mean, I was there.
Was like 12 hours, 14?
A little. It was, I was there from a little bit before 7, so like 7 a.m., and I think I rolled out at like midnight. And it
whoa!
It was really intense.
I bet.
But all the cooking's kind of done together. It's more of like interviews and process. And then everybody was really happy, like, for that part of the season. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but, like, the producers and everybody, like, nobody had won kind of in the street.
Oh, sure.
So they waited for me, and then they were like, thank God you beat him.
Yeah, well,
like, you know, I like the producers.
And
like,
especially with
like,
Southwest food.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
That's
I was
a
just
specialty.
Like, I was thinking that was just a touch biased. It's like, are they rigging this for you? Because that's what he does.
Yeah, well, you know, apparently we do it better.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
That's
slam.
Right. Something I saw for you, since we're talking about, you know, congratulatory things and awards, walk away.
Oh, yes. I was like, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny because, like, you know, hoisting your dog up in the air above your head.
Yeah.
I saw that, and those look like...
I made Brian spit. I have to read it.
It looked like... I was looking at that going, what the hell is that on there? And it looked like the Willy Wonka version of a fortune cookie.
Yes.
You know, gold
the
to, like,
giant
the
one.
Goose egg, the bee, bee,
yeah.
bee, right? That nasty little brat fell through the mm-hmm. hole. So anyway, walk away.
Walk away, yeah.
It's a writing award, yes?
It was. That's the name of the story that I wrote. It came out last year at some point. I don't remember when at this point in time.
Casual
but it was
cool.
a really...
Always.
It was a cover story I wrote that is up for an award this year, which
and
is really
what's
cool.
What's the award?
It is up for a... I think it's the Food Writing Award from the Association.
No kidding.
Imagine that.
No, it's a runway model thing.
I wish. No. From the Association of Alternative Newspapers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, it's cool. I really loved that story.
I hadn't read it. Is there someplace I can find it?
Yeah, you can find it online if you Google walk away and then my first and last name, it should definitely come up.
I think it'd be cool if you sent it to me in a Word document and I can take it and post it on, are you ready? Put your drink down.
I'm ready.
No. IntoTheSoup.com. Oh, you forgot. How they forget so quickly.
Bad singers.
It says you don't have to be a good singer. We normally don't have good singers. We had this dude from Bitter and Twisted go falsetta at the very end of the show.
That was so fantastic.
I could see that.
No, it wasn't. He didn't even sit down with us. I'm like, dude. So we had, what was his name? I can't.
The general manager.
Zachary. Mm. Zachary O'Hare. Yeah, so he went falsetta at the end of it. So I'm getting the finger thing in the air that goes around and around. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk just about whatever, we want to, because that's how we roll out here on Into the Soup. So you're at 93.9 KWSS. I'm Heidi Lee. Don't touch that now.
Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by CCAP, Careers Through Culinary Arts Program. We work with at-risk high school kids to give them the skills to raise money for them to get scholarships to culinary school. And the Soup of the Week is your hot pot.
It is now.
It is now.
Absolutely.
What did you call it again?
So this is our udon noodle hot pot, which also, we do it here at the spa. It has a little bit of like garlic prawns in it.
It's got some chili sauce. It's
edamame shiitake. Yep.
Well, see,
it's
that's a soup. In my book, that's a soup. So you're going to give me the recipe, yes?
Absolutely.
Is this your creation,
You already
chef?
Have it. It's Saturday. You have it.
Yeah. I love smart
time
people.
Travel.
You already posted it on the website.
Nobody's
everything.
Ever done that before. That's pretty cool.
Sorry, Emma.
And so it's online at, are you going to participate this time?
I'm ready.
Otherwise,
go.
I'm going to have to throw something at you. IntoTheSoup.com.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway, be really careful. I don't know if any of you have encountered this, but I just put my straw on the bottom of my cocktail.
The blueberry.
And it was like a machine gun fire. I controlled myself so I didn't start.
It reminds me of boba, though. Like, I love those drinks.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've never tried one because I'm afraid they're going to be too sweet.
No.
They're delicious.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
I hate sweet stuff, so
I don't like sweet stuff
either. I don't
either. Yeah, I told somebody that the other day, and she goes, "Do you?" She goes, "She brought eclairs," and I'm like, "I don't like sweets." And she goes, "Do you drink a lot?" And I'm like, "No."
Like, that's my sugar intake for all
it is.
Of forever.
I save my sugar calories for Chardonnay, so there you go. So, Brian Archibald, executive chef at the Boulders. Congratulations. That's very lofty. What are you? You're like 32, right?
I'm not going to date myself.
You're not?
No,
okay.
I'm 36.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that's
kind of
close to his resume.
I don't need to do that yet. Two more years and then I'll start lying. And go backwards. But anyway.
Never start lying. Just look better. You look like you're 24. Great skin.
We're at the spa. That's why.
What, is that what it is?
Taking care of myself. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Of course you
face
do.
Face wraps, you know.
Yeah, you get 12 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. You don't wake up with your kids in the middle of the night.
Ugh.
Okay, so let's go CCAP kid. So you are a CCAP kid here in Arizona.
Absolutely. So I'm an Arizona native.
Okay.
Born and raised here. Love the Valley. Moved around a bunch, but I really got my start with CCAP. I was taking the program, and a lot of people don't know this. They're familiar with it, but they don't really put two and two together that CCAP really gets kids the opportunity to go to culinary school. I mean, I came from a very middle or lower class family, hardworking family.
And, low income, not class.
And,
low income.
Let's do both. And the and getting and going to school, like I ended up going to school in San Francisco. I won a scholarship to go to the California Culinary Academy. That would have never happened when being 17 or 18 and moving out there by myself. So
right.
Really, it catapulted me to
that's kind of the hood,
isn't
it?
Field. San Francisco?
No.
or where?
Why did you think San Francisco was the hood?
No way.
It depends what part of San Francisco.
I was in the Tenderloin. I'll tell you.
My
I literally was.
Sister went there. And she was just like, whoa, this is scary. And she had this bum sitting outside of her apartment every morning and asking for money. And she's like, listen, dude, you make more money than I do. Anyway.
So you went they're to not CCA. Even bums. That's just who everyone looks.
Right, but. Yeah. So you went to CCA. What high Hipsters. School did you go to?
I actually went to Trevor Brown. So I was at, oh, that's out west.
Ew.
Yep. I went to Trevor Brown, and then with CCAP, I was at Metro Tech. So I was at a vocational school like okay. my last 2 years.
So Metro Tech's like an EVIT, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. And that's where I just kind of stumbled into culinary class, and it was pretty interesting. I had like a hardcore French chef. I was like always late and in trouble, and he's like, "You're such a jerk, but you're good at this." And
we just fight.
My teacher.
Oh.
Like we were hardcore. It's James Holman, Jim Holman. We're still friends now.
Okay.
And it was like that love-hate relationship where he just, you know, he's like, "You could be a lot better." I was like, "Well, whatever." I had just gotten a car. You know, no one cares about anything else after that. Once
right,
you're
pretty
in
much.
High school, yeah. You're like, "I'm so cool."
I'm a bet. You were gonna say it, weren't you? You got so
yeah, close. Try not to.
Don't make Emily edit me.
I'm trying.
She has to.
I'm
it
trying.
Costs me money.
So, I mean, basically, when I, you know, I went through the program, and it really got me thinking that this is what I wanted to do, you know. And at the same time I was working, I suggest that for everybody. I think they should, before they're going into school, that they should get into the field. So I was working.
Yes.
I was working at a hotel. I was working at kind of a pseudo fine dining restaurant in downtown Phoenix. And
pseudo fine dining.
It was at the
everything
it
was pseudo fine dining.
Which one?
When you were going to high school.
Absolutely.
In downtown Phoenix.
White tablecloths.
Yeah, okay,
that was when
that
downtown
mean
Phoenix was scary.
Does that cool.
Was that Eddie
does
Maddie's?
It still exist?
It's the Hyatt Regency. No, I was at the Compass restaurant.
Oh, like we always used to go there.
Yeah, you're selling
told
you. Dream restaurant?
That's so fancy.
Yeah.
See? I told you.
Growing up, we go see a play
it's
downtown.
Because it's
Regency.
Yeah.
Right across from Hanny's? Is that...
Yes.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Hilarious.
I had to think about Handy.
It's on
like,
Adams
yep,
and
way.
Like First, right?
You are okay. correct. All the right. spinning restaurant.
Yes.
You come out of the bathroom and you don't know where your table is every time. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah. People so disorienting. Like,
that wouldn't be good for me.
It's all right. You just circle around and you're like, is this my table? This my... No. Oh, there it is.
It's not like it's a maze of rectangles and corners.
This I just look for my dad's hair. it's very bouncy, so it was easy to pick him out of a crowd.
Nice. Very cool. Because we're getting kind of short on time, I know, and we want to cover a lot of things. But when you did, we did College 101 for the CCAP kids a couple mm-hmm. of Saturdays ago.
Yep.
And you were talking about traveling.
Yeah.
So not only getting a job in the industry before you really think about getting into the industry.
Yes.
And, you know, taking on school and loans and, you know, whatever.
Oh, gosh.
Or competing with CCAP and getting it for free for all your hard work. But traveling as a chef.
Yeah.
I did it, and it was just, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You know, it's funny because I think everybody wants to give advice.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to give advice about, you know, these young kids going into the field and understanding it. And I think everyone hears the same thing, or a lot of times I do if I go to those things. And, you know, a lot of advice that just happened to me that maybe no one gave me was, I was like, go travel while you can. You know, experience other cultures, experience other food. Don't jump right into, I'm going to do this and I'm not moving and I'm going to work my way up. Like, that's the best. But if you don't, you're going to find yourself when you're more locked into the career, you're not able to move and travel. And yes, you get great employers that will let you travel with them. But like I told the kids, I was like, go sleep on floors, like go work for families, like go work for free, which is hard. A lot of people don't want to do that anymore. But
they should.
Absolutely. But the experience that you'll get from that is just mind blowing. You know, and you'll, and you realize a little bit later. Like most sage advice to teenagers, right. Where you're like, that was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one thing that I really was trying to get across.
The other option for people that they don't consider, and I stumbled onto this. I mean, I wasn't a chef. I was a paralegal. But I was a really good cook. And I ran away from everything and went to the Caribbean and got a job as a cook on a charter boat. Not a cruise ship, but a 65-foot sailboat. And talk about sleeping on floors. I mean, I slept in the what do you call it? The bows?
The
very
stern.
Front where the anchor
bow?
Is.
The bow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know any.
There's a somebody name. There's a name for it. Somebody Google it. On the top of a sleeping bag with an anchor. It smelled like salt and had stuff all over it, you know? And I mean, seriously, I did. But I traveled the world.
Did you? I've never asked you this before. I can't believe I haven't. Did you know how to cook before you took off? Or were you like, I'm going to be a cook?
No. I'm just a really... my thing was that... You just have to, you try it. And this, I was supposed to be a stewardess on this yacht. And I get there the day of, and the chef's screaming at the captain and told him to F off and walked off the boat. And the owners were due in 2 hours. And he looked at me and he goes, do you know how to cook? And I said, yep. And I didn't.
At all?
No, not, well, my mom taught me some of the basics. You know, I could make rice and a gravy.
Could you like fry an egg?
All gravies are sauces, but not all sauces are gravies. Is that the way how that goes? I think that's the way it is. Either way, if you turn it around, it still works. Yeah, so I'm just like a really good,
wise words.
I'm just a really, really good cook with big tits and a nice smile.
That, you know, that'll get you far.
It's taken me places. But I worked on it. So that's just another option, and you make great money. You know, you make really good money down there. So I just wanted to share that with anybody that's out there listing. It's a wonderful option. That's really a wonderful option. You know, you work in something about the size of a toilet, but, you know, you're putting out food for 11 people 5 times a day. So enough about me. So you traveled extensively, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was really fortunate. You know, I moved around the U.S. I worked in New York. I worked in San Francisco. Ended up coming back here for family. Was out in Kansas City doing some openings. And then I would just, you know, at least once or twice a year, I would go abroad. I'd get out of the country. You know, worked a little bit in Spain. And then I would pick up some little things. Even if I would just be in town for a week, I would go see where I could work and help out, whether it's a bakery, and try to learn a different craft. That's one thing. Right. Even in the Valley, like, I try. My schedule's pretty insane now, but I'll still always volunteer my services to friends that are doing something else, whether it's farming. Like, I'll come work your field. Like, give me a day.
Okay, so let's go to that. So did you introduce the story about Steadfast?
Yes, I think I did.
He's over there.
Yes.
Well, we're glad you came back to Arizona, Chef. So.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, talk about it.
Oh, so, yeah,
but
so.
But Amy works hard.
I don't remember how I met Eric Schultz of Steadfast Farm, but he's been operating the farm at Agritopia.
Right.
For a long time, and he's going to move, at the end of this month.
He's moving.
Okay. He's moved.
Saturday, so he's definitely ready to go out there, or is he starting from scratch?
He's starting from scratch as far as, like,
are you going to go help in his farm?
So there's nothing. Yeah, well, before I got really hot this weekend, I did offer my services, but
I've asked
I'm hoping
him.
He calls me after the summer.
Oh, me too. Eric, call me. I've already asked if I could be his intern. He's like, you're too busy. Which is probably true, but
yeah, you probably are.
But yeah, so he's doing that, and then he's having a, I really love this name, barn raiser dinner.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, so
I'm trying to remember, I'm like, barn.
I know.
Well, you know, they used to have those. I mean, that's just not something made up. You know, people would come over and help you raise your barn.
Right.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's probably where Raise the Roof came from, too.
It sounds about right.
Probably. A barn raiser. Oh, I want to be part of that. That sounds fun.
It's going to be really, really cool. Well, I mean, Lauren, can I, like, who's going to be there?
I talked to him. Yeah, you'll be there.
Am I? I don't remember.
Chris Bianco's going to be there. Yeah, I think Charlene Badman of F&B.
Yeah. We all know Gio. Charlene.
Yeah, Gio is going to be a part
of
that.
Jeff Krause from
And Jeff, of course.
Nice.
Sure.
So, so we were talking about this when we were walking around outside. There's a lot of farmers here. You know, and you've got some that are just starting up. You know, Kurt Granstrom is one. He's been on our show. He's, you know, just kind of piecemealing along because he has another job because he's got to raise his kids. And then you have Agritopia. You've got Singh. You've got McClendon. You've got all these. So what's so exciting about this?
What's funny is it's really not enough. I mean, for when we reach out, so like weekly, we get our kind of updates on what everyone's growing. And I've been as soon as Eric started traveling to drop off produce, I've been using them. So we've been really, really close.
Okay.
And so weekly you get these updates and it's really funny. You know, like Dave from Tuwash will be, I have 20 pounds of heirloom cucumbers, everybody. And you're talking like 20 chefs will be like, I want it. You know, it's kind of a battle. Sometimes I'll be like, can you just reserve some for me? Or like we get into all these little
what
side
do you have to
deals.
Do for that? No,
just feed them. Just continuously feed the guys. No, but in reality, there's not enough farmers to support like our food scene. There isn't. There really isn't.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that all the chefs, that's what they're really into either. Like I think, you know, the ingredient being most important is just not for everybody. But there's enough of these guys and girls doing it that it really is that they can't even support. They sell out right away every week of like, okay, here's all I have. You guys buy it.
I would think that it would be very difficult unless, you know, you completely understand, which I'm sure you guys do and your farmers do as well, the cyclical nature of what's coming in and what's going out. Sure. So to anticipate, hey, yay, I'm going to get a bunch of tomatoes, and then we get some sort of a freeze or a burn. It's like, oh, sorry, man, I don't have those tomatoes for you. And then you have to change your menu.
Absolutely. So you need to be extremely flexible, and you've met a few chefs in your day, so they're not always going to be flexible with being able to change on a dime.
Well, it depends upon the operation.
And then absolutely. Absolutely. Different. And I do it from a resort and hotel atmosphere.
I was going to say from a resort and hotel, that would seem even more inflexible to me because of the volume.
I mean, my relationship, and I've been doing this for a minute for sure, that at all these properties, like I will, you know, bring those guys and girls into where they need to be. Like I'll have, you know, work with Maya and McClendon and everyone else and showcase it where it needs to be. So whatever restaurant can really dictate that with a menu that changes daily and things that are available.
Okay. It's still challenging.
It's extremely challenging, but you have to be flexible. You're not going to have the product. You can't demand from them.
So I understand now that there isn't enough for everybody.
No.
But it would seem to me that your food costs would be so fluctuative. That's not a word, but I just made it up. Depending upon what you're getting and what you're not getting, you know, because you have to change it up. And if you're changing it up within 24 or 48 hours, you got to go, oh, crap. You know, and bite the bullet and spend the money that you didn't anticipate spending. Maybe at the Boulders, that isn't such a big deal because of, you know, you probably have a budget that's like,
it's,
you know.
Believe it or not, the big places I think even run a little more intense.
A little tighter ship.
For really narrowing down. But no, it wouldn't, your costs don't fluctuate actually.
Oh, okay.
You already plan in it.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's fascinating. I love learning new stuff. And I like farmers. I grew up on a farm, so that always fills my heart. Well, good luck, Eric Schultz and his wife is. Are they doing it together?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's great. All right. We got to take another break. And isn't it amazing? We're going into our last segment. Doesn't it go fast?
It's flying.
Are you having a good time?
Absolutely.
Cool. So think about some things on the break that you might. I know, right? It is kind of weird, but you know, she's just being careful. It's hot. She's watching out for our hydration. We'll be right back. Emily King, you rock. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Woohoo! Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup. We're here with Chef Brian Archibald of the Boulders and Lauren Saria from Phoenix New Times. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10. Shift 10% of your spending to those locally locals we love so much. Supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. Take some of that extra cash, help our community and our economy. So we've been sucking on our weekly Wet Your Whistle, which is this little blueberry lemonade fizz. And the recipe, of course, is on the site because it's Saturday.
Yep. Let's go to it.
And this is something I've been noticing a lot. And you color me happy. Everybody's doing, I saw this, I think it was something you wrote, a champagne float. Oh, look,
probably.
She brought more.
Oh, my goodness. What?
That was such perfect. Does it have vodka in it? Oh, yay.
Like half a bottle.
I found the vodka emoji.
You found the vodka. Oh, you did? There's a vodka
emoji.
It's
next to the sake one, which is super random, I feel.
And
that's
extra blueberries
awesome.
For you. Thanks.
Some larger blueberries.
Yeah, a little larger blueberries. This one's a little more purple in color. But yeah, they're doing all these cocktails that have like a champagne float, a prosecco float on mm-hmm. the top.
Champagne's having a moment right now.
It is having mm-hmm. a moment, kind of like rosé.
It is. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sparkling rosé.
Woo! How come champagne's having a moment?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think it's summertime, and that's part of it. And, well, I mean, probably technically sparkling wine is having a moment, not
okay.
actually
well,
champagne.
Oh,
well, there
but,
you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's also sort of like a pendulum sort of thing. Like, for a while, I feel like you were getting a lot of, like, cocktails with really bitter aperitifs in there. Bartenders were loving that. And now we're all like, okay, I've, like, kind of shot my palate on, you
right.
know, all that jazz. And
so
now
let's
we're swinging.
Move over. Yeah, I mean, I think, well, it is summertime, and that's actually really refreshing. It's really nice. And but I associate champagne and sparkling wines more with the holidays.
Really?
Yeah, in winter.
Celebratory.
Yeah, they're celebratory things. I mean, I'm totally digging the fact that they put them into a cocktail. It's like, yay! You know, because it's not the whole thing.
Adult
champagne
soda.
Goes straight to my head.
Mm.
But I can't, you know, I just really can't.
Me too,
do
Champers.
To
it
get
goes,
my, you know.
Yeah, straight to my hangover.
Straight, oh, does it? And then you
it's
woke
worst.
Up in bed. Or on the floor somewhere. So you were talking about, before we left, we were talking about Steadfast Farms.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, and the Boulders and how great this is. And so I just wanted to say, you have a killer garden.
Oh, thank you.
And that's really cool. And I love to see that a lot of chefs are actually making room in new properties or renovating old properties to accommodate that and bring in their own stuff. I mean, how sweet is it to walk out in the morning and pick your verbena or your mint that goes in this cocktail? It's really cool.
When it's 112, it's not so cool. But yeah, no, we love it. And I know. No, it's a teaching aspect too. You know, when you see how long it takes for something to come mm-hmm. around, I love showing our young team how much work it is to even harvest, to go out and pick. I have a really funky story. It's real short where the first time I went to Sing Farm, and this is way before Ken would ever have anyone out on Saturdays before he had farmers markets.
Right.
And I went out there, and he was the, you know, you go and meet him, you go and meet him, and it's like, hey, what are you guys looking for? You know, I want some carrots. Oh, they're such a great couple. And he was like, okay, they're over there. You guys go pick some. And I had my sous chef with me at the time. This is like, I don't know, early 2000. And so we went over there, and we spent an hour picking carrots. Not even a lot. We're talking like, and I'm not crying, but it showed us like. When those carrots came back and we brought them back to the restaurant, it was like gold. Everybody
you
was like,
them,
be careful with that. I picked that. Like, don't drop it. Like, it I was know, just like, their attitude towards the vegetables, like, totally changed.
There's such a different appreciation yeah. for the mechanics and the labor that goes into that.
I mean, it was
so
insane,
true.
Especially when we were doing it. Yeah. it was a little different.
Like,
so,
oh my God.
So I think that component's huge. So anywhere I can, you know, I always try to do a gardening component.
Good.
Besides, obviously, at home because I'm never there, so yes. That never makes it.
Yeah, I am.
While we're on the subject of teaching, what's the deal with this room? What are you guys doing
so
here?
We are sitting in basically our cooking classroom. So starting actually up in fall again, you know, we'll be doing this educational cooking series where I have different chefs come out, even mixologists like bartenders and my chefs here for the resort, and we do different classes on Thursdays. So we'll just kind of showcase one thing, whether it's like pasta making or how to brine or how to salt cure.
Do you get to play do your guests get to play?
The guests
depending upon what's going on?
Yeah, it depends on kind of on what we're doing that day. So they have a little bit of involvement and they get to enjoy whatever product we're making.
Cool.
And then end with cocktail.
Those are fun. I love doing teaching
classes.
And
there's a mirror on the ceiling.
We love it. Yeah, there should always be a mirror.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say something about that, but I just thought, you know, watch out for those wayward guys that are just the prep cooks on the back. They're telling my girlfriends, there's a coolest room here. Just sanitize the cutting board.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about Sips and Sweets. Did you ever consider calling it cocktails and candy?
No, that would have been a good name.
That's you know, the West Side in her.
Scratch the whole idea. We're starting over.
I love alliteration. So, you know, that's, you know, I think we're tied. I've got alliteration and you had curator. So
I did.
Yeah,
I like
so that's pretty good. Anyway, for chef, Brian's got a pretty good vocabulary.
He
so.
Does.
Anyway,
it's
we
impressive.
Won't diss him.
Just to make me spell.
So it's today.
It's today.
It's
yeah.
Today.
Oh, my God. It's today.
In about 2 hours.
In about 2 hours.
Except for VIP. VIP starts at 2, I do believe.
Lucky ducks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it should be. I'm really actually very excited. And I'm going to sort of segue and just also say that it's my birthday today, Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Nothing like having a food event.
Right? Yeah. But yeah.
We'll make sure that there's a candle when we leave the studio and head over to the thing today.
Yeah. I'm going to make every chef put a candle on. No, I'm just yeah.
Because they're doing you such a favor. You have to give me a candle,
I
too.
Know, yeah. So can you guys all, yeah. Yeah. No, but it was, it's really cool for me to be able to, that it happened to be on my birthday as a fun coincidence. But as far as like curating it, to be able to, it's sort of like fantasy food event for me, you know, it's like invite my favorite mixologists and, chefs to come and do this event and sort of like my personal dream team.
Your personal
happy birthday
going to
be there, which is awesome. Yeah,
I'm writing down favorite.
You are. Well, you've got some. I'm not going to name all the names, but Liberty Market, Joel's Bakery, Tracy Dempsey, Zach's Chocolate. Never heard of that one.
I love them. They're actually really great. They do Bean to Bar chocolate in Scottsdale.
Bean to Bar. Bean See, to look bar. At all this alliteration. Mm-hmm. This is Sips and Sweets, Kenyan Cocktails, the Coronado, the Ostrich. Okay, I love this. The Bee's Knees.
Yeah.
With the chick named Libby Longlot.
Yes. Have you been down to the Camby?
No.
I've heard so much about it.
I mean, everybody
dope.
Said.
Yeah.
Jair's going to hold the Camby. Their chef, what's his last name? I believe it's Singh.
Don't look over
no,
here.
No.
Oh, it's Dushan.
Yes, that's
and
it.
I think his last name is Singh.
I think it is Singh, and he is going to be a huge supporter of CCAP, too.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yes, so he just signed up for that. No, but I've heard amazing things about the Camby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the design is even just like worth walking.
Really,
just wander through that hotel. Do it. No one will mind.
It's amazing what ambiance does to an appetite and an experience.
That's true.
You know, you can have a great meal in a diner. You know, I mean, you can sit there and look across the table at somebody and fall in love with them at the diner. But if you walk into something like the Camby, you're just like, yeah, let's get the ring. Who is this Gavin Penn dust cutter?
That is going to be at the Renaissance. It's not open yet, but
okay. But he's playing.
Yes, he is.
Okay,
it's very nice.
Riley, who couldn't be here because he's sick.
Yes,
yeah.
You're going to be there.
Riley.
But
worse.
You know what? Your name's not on here, dude.
Yeah, it's just
last entry. Favorite. Micah Olson.
Micah.
Jade Barr, Eddie. Titus Fauntleroy.
I know.
Seriously?
He'll win best dress, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He'll be better dressed than me.
Best looking.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't stalked him.
I actually
Oh, he's also a model.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, really?
I try to get him to
come. Okay, now I am going to stalk him. About Titus.
I have to figure out something cool to wear.
Yeah.
Better go home and change.
He used to work at Lux as a bartender. Okay. And I actually have, this is like ironic considering my job, but a really hard time talking to strangers. And you know how at Lux, when you go order drinks, they tell you they do the drink through dialogue. Yeah. And so I had never ordered a drink at Lux because I was like, I can't dialogue with a stranger about what I want.
They're like,
wait
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just have wine.
drink through dialogue?
Yes. They like, you have to like explain what you want and they'll like, make a drink
yeah,
for
I
you.
Want grapefruit, vodka, right? And they like a little bit of mint.
And so I finally worked up That's the courage to like go have my drink made through dialogue. And Titus was the bartender, and he's just like, I mean, he's like a model, like very. And I had like, you know, I follow him on Instagram, so it was basically like I walked up to this bar, and there's like a local celebrity there, and he's like, "Hi, what do you want?" And I was like, my brain stopped working, and I was like, "I don't know, like anything that you want to make, like what is happening?" So, anyways, okay, I told that story on the radio just now. What just happened?
I'll text him. No, I asked him to come out.
It's her birthday. I'm like secretly like the most awkward person.
Do you understand what an opening door that is for women for him? It's just like, so what do you want? Ah, la, la.
I know.
And they probably practice, you know, and come in. What would you say, Anne?
I have no idea if he's that attractive.
I don't know.
He's a good looking dude.
Is he a good looking
yeah.
dude?
You want a glass.
You want a glass with that? No, you can just mix it in my mouth. Haven't you ever done that?
Let's go somewhere and talk about this privately.
Haircuts. It's like, hold on.
Not since Mexico.
Not that I've done one.
What is it called?
A haircut. Where you like?
Oh, it has a name?
Because it's like you're getting
I didn't know what that is.
I didn't even know what it is. I just made
where,
it up.
I'm amazing.
Well,
that's
Google
great.
It, guys.
I'm scared. Like,
that's fantastic.
Let's go to images.
Haircut.
See what comes up.
So how many minutes do I have? I just kind of lost my place. I got all. We've got about 3 minutes. Okay. Anything coming up for you? You talked about your classes.
Absolutely. So coming back in the fall, we'll have
in the fall. Okay.
Yep. We'll have our Meet the Chef and really special artisan classes here at the Boulders Resort. And we just did a huge remodel, and that was a big deal for us. Put a little over $14 million into the property.
Just 14.
Just a little bit, a smudge over.
Right.
And there's more to come. So we relaunched a restaurant concept called Palo Verde, which is very, very near and dear to my heart. That's where Steadfast Farm and everyone else really came into play to make that,
okay, cool.
that concept menu. So
great.
We'll look out to come in and checking out the renovations here.
You know what would be really fun? You know, I was telling you what I did last night with Mel. When just go mm-hmm. in the kitchen yep. and cook. Could I do that with you sometime?
Absolutely.
That would be so fun. And you can give me tasks. It's just a blast. It just, you know, I don't want that lifestyle. I made a decision a long time ago not to. I mean, I did it.
No, it sucks.
I worked on a line in the back of the house, and it's just like, no. And I stayed in the culinary world, but in a very different capacity. So, but just getting back in there and the excitement and the rush and, you know, the whole thing that comes with it.
Yeah.
I just love to play. That
you know,
would be
we have
really
we always have like a play around day, believe it or not, like me and a couple of the chefs that are out here, and we'll just do special projects, like a lot of charcuterie and stuff that we do, where we just set aside like 3 or 4 hours to do that work without people bugging
us.
And
oh, that would be
it
awesome.
It actually is really fun.
Okay. That would be really cool. You should come and play. Can you cook?
I can. Yeah, no, I can't. I can't. No, I'm actually just really accident prone. Like, I'm constantly, like,
give her the metal glove.
Hiking and falling.
Hurting myself and scuba diving and getting ear infection. Yeah, I'm just very accident prone, but I would love to come.
Okay. I think that would be a blast.
Yeah, I love
that.
I'd
love you got two meeting people. Do you want to come, too?
Absolutely. Sure, I'll
bring Titus. We'll get him in here.
Oh,
awesome.
I don't think he can cook anything, but it's fine.
Do we care?
There.
Haircuts all around.
Probably does.
Hey, Titus, you want a haircut? I've never even met this guy. It's like, great. No, I think that would be a blast. I think it would be really, really fun. And I think it would be actually a really unique. I thought about it last night when I got home. And after I stopped laughing about the stripper joke. But I thought, you know, it would be a great way to showcase chefs in such a different way. You know, to get back, understand the lingo rather than the front of the house lingo. Mm-hmm. It's someone that dines and doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know back of the house. It's a completely different language.
Yeah.
And to come in and, you know, and talk about your company and your organization and your different restaurants from the perspective of somebody that knows that and writes as well, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I thought it would just be kind of neat.
Yeah, well, it's seeing more of the art instead of coming out and seeing the finished product. Oh, it's so pretty. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, let me show you how to do this.
It's like what happens when you have a greater appreciation for your carrots.
No.
Mm-hmm. When you pull them yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We had the teeniest little carrot on my plate last night. It was
adorable. It came from the same farm as these blueberries.
I think it came from from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's like, and then Emily ate it. I'm like, that is so unfair. So we're going to walk down the street here and go to Vintage 45 for Sips and Sweets. Lauren Saria, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
It was lovely to meet you, Chef Brian Archibald.
It's a pleasure.
That was really fun. I have no idea who we'll be interviewing next week because it's summer and everybody's gone. So, you know, I'm kind of like, hey, anybody want to be on the show?
You'll just have us again.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Are we good to go?
We are good to go.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. The food was fantastic.
Thank you.
We got another cocktail that had just a smidge more vodka in it, so we can actually taste it. She was just taking care of us. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. This is Heidi Lee. Peace out.